Hi, I'm Sean McCabe.
And I'm Carrie McCabe.
We are, well, married, obviously, but we're also obsessed with the darker side of things.
True crime stories, alien abductions, poltergeists. If it leaves you scratching your head and keeping those lights on at night, we want to hear about it.
That's why we host the podcast, Ain't It Scary, with Sean and Carrie.
Every week, we bring our listeners a true story guaranteed to send chills down your spine, from history's most brutal serial killers to the mystery of spontaneous human combustion.
Yep, lots of these stories leave unanswered questions behind, and you'll get to poke through the rubble of the evidence with a hardened skeptic and
someone whose mind is more open to fun.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
The show really feels like just kicking back with us at home and chatting about monsters and tragedies, but having a few laughs along the way.
Just like we'd be doing if the mics were off, frankly.
You can find Ain't It Scary with Sean and Carrie wherever you get your podcasts, and on social media at Ain't It Scary. Come play with us.
Forever and ever and ever.
She actually outranked him so much socially that she kept her surname and he adopted it.
So that is baller.
Excellent. Right? Here's the thing. Paige, have you officially changed your last name yet?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, well then you need to tell Elliot, like, I outrank you socially, so you need to change your
name. You need to take mine.
Do it.
I'll see how that goes. I'll report back. I'm Paige.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Spooky Science Sisters. Hello, you're listening to Spooky Science Sisters, a podcast where we present to you a science-based, and probably very giggly, discussion on all things strange and unusual.
Today we are joined by historian and host of the podcast Historical AF, Kina. She is joining us for our second spooky true crime episode to chat about Elizabeth Bathory. So excited. Kina, would you like to say hi to our listeners and tell them a little bit about yourself?
Hi, yes, I'm Kina. I am a historian. I am a public historian, actually, and I specialize in insane asylums, which I find pretty cool. And I most people are like, what do you do? Do you study war or Rome or ancient Greece? I'm like, no, just one insane asylum. That's just one. Anyway, yes. So I'm Kina. I'm a historian. I host Historical AF, and it's kind of a boozy, foul-mouthed history podcast about weird, funny, eerie, morbid historical nuggets you never knew you needed in your ear hole. And I love history. I'm super excited about it. So I have guests come on and we just talk about different things. Like, I've had Megan on. We've talked about,
oceans.
Yeah, we did oceans. And then you were on my special 100th episode where we just talked about 100 things.
And I did the 100-year-old ghost story.
Yes. Oh, it was so good. So yeah, I have guests on. We talk about history. We laugh. We make a lot of jokes. And it's just a party, but you accidentally learn things.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Well, we're super excited to have you on. And I'm like extra excited because, as Kina mentioned, Megan has joined her on a couple of episodes, but unfortunately, I have missed both of those. So this is my first time getting to meet her, and I'm like very excited. Megan has said only wonderful things. So.
Oh, yay. Yeah, no, I'm so excited to meet you. And you will be on my podcast. We will make it happen.
Yeah,
soon. It's going to happen for me. So a few things before we get started on today's topic. The first thing is we are getting close to Halloween. Well, we aren't really, but by the time that this episode airs, right? By the time that this episode airs, we will be very close to Halloween and we will be excited about it. And this year we are planning another Halloween listener stories episode because last year's was so much fun. So if you have any stories you would like us to cover, please share with us via email or any of our social media pages. And now, something spooky. So, Megan, do you have anything spooky to share?
I do. I feel like we haven't had anything for a while because I don't know. Our lives have gotten boring. Things have gotten less spooky.
I have a theory.
We've got to go find some spooky things. But I have three things now. So first, it is weird that we were like just chatting about how we had such trouble recording that one episode. And like that was our listener stories episode.
Yes, I had the same thought. For listener
stories. Like, what the fuck? But when I was taking notes for this episode, recording in, it's the beginning of May, but this episode isn't scheduled to come out until August 23rd, because we're recording everything ahead of time. But what is like somewhat spooky coincidental timing is that Elizabeth Bathory died on August 21st.
Oh,
spooky.
Yeah. And like, I feel like since it was, you know, 400 years ago, I feel like you get like plus or minus a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how, that's how anniversaries work.
Yeah. And historically speaking, a lot of times they wrote down the wrong birthdays for women in history. So it could be, you know.
Yeah. There you go. Kina knows.
Yeah.
But either way, it's like, I read August 21st and I was like, man, like, isn't this episode gonna get released at the end of August? That is weird. So that was sort of a weird coincidence, but hey, now you know. If you're listening to this episode 2 days ago, it was the day that Elizabeth Bathory died. And then my other spooky thing is that I'm feeling pretty concerned about the Chinese rocket that's gonna crash into the earth in the next 24 hours.
Oh yeah, I was just watching a TikTok about that.
So was I.
You want to take a guess, Megan, if I was watching that same TikTok?
You were not. It's a running joke here, Kina, that I got really addicted to TikTok at the beginning of quarantine. And I think we actually talked about this when I was on your show the first time. Mm-hmm. And Paige is like, no, I'm having none of this. So I send her a lot of TikToks and she watches like maybe 10% of them.
That's exactly how my husband is. He'll maybe one out of 30, he'll be like, okay, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I'll click that one.
Unfortunately for Paige, my husband is also sending her a bunch of TikToks. But anyway. So yeah, so I was just watching a TikTok about that and I'm like, I'm feeling concerned. Like, it was like, probably it'll crash into the ocean. But then it was the space gal, who is a trustworthy source, mm-hmm. was like, it has like a 1% chance to hit somebody. And I was like, oh no.
I know, especially after the year we had in 2020 and even 2021, you know, anything is possible now. Nobody is shocked by anything. So I too have anxiety.
Yeah. So anyway, that's not so much spooky as it is like existential dread inducing, but you know.
Yes.
If you're listening to this in August, we might be dead. Cheers. Anyway. Did anything spooky happen to you, Paige?
Nothing spooky here, but here is what I've decided is going to happen. We have been focusing on, like, we want something spooky to happen, so mm-hmm. we have something to share, and that's why it's not happening. So I'm officially convinced that in our break between our recordings here, that I think we're gonna wrap up in like the next couple of weeks, mm-hmm. So like early summer, and then the recordings we come back to in like late fall, there's going to be like a significant increase in spooky happenings. That's what's happening. So I don't have anything spooky today, but when we come back in the fall, I think I'm gonna have a lot of spooky things
to tell you. We're gonna start writing them down.
I'm gonna make a list of them. So I have one for every week that we record.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll probably be like the day after we record, like our last episode for, you know, the break. Then it'll be like the next day.
Yeah.
Weird stuff will start happening.
Shit's gonna start happening.
Okay. Well, that's us. So, Kina, has anything spooky happened to you recently?
Okay, listen. So, I too want things to happen to me, and I think they don't out of spite. But I have been actively searching out, you know, creepy paranormal occurrences in my hometown because I'm new here. I just moved here 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. And so I got this book and it is Haunted Seguin. That's where I'm from. So I've just been picking a place and then deciding to go there and being like, hey, ghosts, I'm here. Come at me. And so far that hasn't worked. But the last thing I did was kind of, it gave me like knots in my stomach, but I think it's because I knew the history. But okay. The town I'm in, I'm southern, kind of east Texas. I'm between San Antonio and Austin, if that gives you an idea. So It's very Old West justice. And So the town I'm from is one of the oldest towns in the state, and it was founded by Texas Rangers. So they were all very into that really intense justice. Mm-hmm. So I was reading it, and there was a bunch of trees people keep mentioning that are haunted, and there was these... there's one that was supposed to be called like the Howling Tree or something. So I was like, well, that sounds cool. Let's go find that. So I couldn't find it because all the pictures in the book were the wrong pictures. It was a whole thing. I was walking around town with a book in my hand and my camera out because I was TikToking. It was probably hilarious. But I finally found it. And what it was a whipping tree. So they would try people. And then on Sunday, they would march everybody out to the tree, tie them to the tree, and then beat them while everybody had a picnic.
Oh, no.
It's horrible. But the story is that you can hear the screams if you listen.
Oh, no.
So I didn't realize that when I got there because I'm TikTok and be like, oh, this haunted tree is going to be awesome. And then I got there and be like, oh, my God, this is horrific and I hate my life. Ah. So I was really uncomfortable. But it was really
everything.
It was kind of... It was interesting on a historical aspect because the hooks are still there from
wow,
like 1700s. And just seeing how much it's, you know, grown because it's like up in the tree now. Yeah. And so I took pictures. People say sometimes it'll glow, but my town kind of looks like the downtown area of Gilmore Girls with the gazebo and the troubadour and all the sparkly lights. So it's way too bright to actually see any ghosties, but
okay,
I'm just going to assume they were there. They were just, you know, drowned out by the blinding lights.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
Yeah, it gave me the creeps, but I think it was mostly just the heaviness of how kind of horrific that was and just being sad. And then it was also next to an area where there were... These books, I'm telling you, Texas is wild. But they're like, oh, this tree was here, and it was a hanging tree, and it was a perfect location because it was halfway between the courthouse and the morgue, and it was just talking about it so excitedly. And I was like, it's still a hanging tree. But then they're like, unfortunately, tragedy struck when the tree died when they paved and it couldn't get water. And I'm like, that's the tragedy? That the tree died?
Somebody needs to figure out their priorities.
Yes. Yes. And then, yeah, so that, and then this was all the same day, by the way, so I'm just counting as one. And my town is named Seguin after Juan Seguin. He was a hero of the Alamo, big deal or whatever. So he actually died in Mexico, but this town wanted to name itself Seguin. So in the 70s, they went to Mexico and dug him up and then brought him here. And now he's buried in the middle of the town and nobody finds it weird. I find it so weird.
That is
bizarre. Yeah. So it gives me the creeps too, because I feel like he has to be angry. Like, why did they left there? His family? His family is still there. So I think that he's probably a very restless spirit.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this really informs. So Paige, I don't know if you remember, but it was a couple episodes where I had come across a list of states where they'd had the largest number of ghost sightings, and Texas was the top one.
So. I believe it. Plus, we're huge. So
if you normalized her population, it was not. But, like, just in terms of, like, total ghost sightings on, and again, like, on a pretty unofficial website that people submitted to, it was the top one. But it's like, I mean, Texas is really old and has a super long history. And, there's been a lot of stuff.
It's just weird because when they talk about, like, haunted towns or, like, areas that are haunted that you should check out, I don't know that I've ever come across like anywhere in Texas being a place to go for
really
like ghost tours or anything like that. Yeah. Oh.
I don't think I ever heard it till I moved here. And then once I got here, I was like, oh yeah, I've heard of these places because we have the Manger Hotel, which has been, I've heard it on podcasts before. I just don't think it clicked that it was here. Mm-hmm. And it's super, super haunted. And then the Emily Morgan is built on the area where the hospital kind of, like where a lot of people died. And then there's Austin has tons of ghosts. They actually mm-hmm. do a ghost tour in a hearse, which I have to do. It just sounds amazing.
That's super fun.
But can't remember what hotel it is. I'm blanking. But it's the one that LBJ used to flash people on when he stayed there. Yeah, he had a whole thing. He flashed a lot of people, the president.
Oh, no.
He named it Jumbo. So there you go. I will curse you with my knowledge. But yeah, it's very haunted. And like the hotel that I live kind of close to, they call it a hotel. It's just a house, but it's supposedly the most haunted in Texas. But everybody thinks they're the most haunted in Texas. So I'm having a hard time differentiating.
Here's what we've learned. Lots of places around the country think they're the most haunted.
True. Like every place.
Okay. Well, we can dive into Elizabeth Bathory. Kina is going to do the, I guess, true crime / historical perspective on Elizabeth Bathory. And the reason that we say true crime is because most people talk about her as being one of the most prolific serial killers ever in history. But we're going to talk about why that might not be the case. And I'm very excited about it.
I'm also very excited. I learned a lot about this. So.
Yeah. Yes, I have a very hot take that she was not a serial killer. And we'll get into it. But I know a lot of people kind of surface level, you hear the stories. And they're amazing because she sounds badass, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, yeah.
But like, here's the thing. Like now I've heard, like I've, you know, read your perspective and some of these other perspectives, and I'm like, this bitch was maybe mean, but like was awesome, so whatever. Okay.
Exactly. Right, like her actual story, or this story, may be more badass.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll just get into it, and in the end you guys can let us know what you think.
Yeah.
So, Elizabeth Bathory, aka the Blood Countess, aka Countess Dracula, sometimes is described as the most torturous woman serial killer in recorded history that bathed in the blood of virgins and banged the devil himself. I will add that even the factual, quote, factual parts of history are wild.
Yes.
Wildly speculative. So take a lot of it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
So when you look past the legend, who was she really? Was she really this monster that inspired Dracula, or was she simply just a powerful woman who got a bad edit in history? I am very team the latter here.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to be too biased because I know it.
I know. I'm going to be, I have a hard time like giving any credence to like the idea that she was actually, you know, this monster that everybody said she was, because I feel so convinced the other way.
It's true. And I think also, especially the bathing in blood part is such a huge part of her image, but that just doesn't work scientifically.
It's just like, just not a thing.
You need like a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Like
and it just wouldn't be like water. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't add up. So our girl Liz was born in 1560 in the Kingdom of Hungary, which is now Hungary, Slovakia, Romania area. She was endowed with good looks, tons of wealth, an incredible education, and an impressive social standing. And she knew a lot of languages. She was very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, she had more money than the king himself, and her family essentially dominated Transylvania. And her uncle ruled Poland, so she was very powerful, just born into this position. And then she also grew up in a castle, and that's super fancy. Can't relate. I mean, I kind of wish I did, but no. And there's some speculation.
You have that crown now, though.
So. Oh, I do. I have two now. I'm so excited. Sometimes
life is just stressful and you just got to wear a crown. It really does make you feel like you can just invade the neighboring town.
I agree.
Yeah, it's great. I highly recommend. So there is some speculation that she may have suffered from epilepsy, and a lot of writers talk about this, and they mention that maybe they put blood on her lips as like a folk remedy, and maybe that's where this whole blood thing came from. Mm-hmm. But as a historian, it is not likely that anybody would have documented that, because she was high-ranking nobility. And if they wrote that she had epilepsy, or they called it like the fainting sickness and all that, that would make their family seem weak, quote unquote. And that would hurt their chances with her. They wanted her to marry, you know, another noble family to get more wealth. And they wouldn't be publicizing that there was something wrong, because if there was something wrong, that might hurt her chances of having children. And then if she can't have children, she can't get married. So I don't think that's true.
Yeah. Well, and I guess just something that I, have known for a little while, but looked more into lately. Even if there was some sort of, like, I don't know, drinking blood or putting blood on your body or something like that, like, people were straight up eating ground up mummies and stuff. So
it's true.
Like, this was a thing. And I think, like, at the time that she was alive, it was already a thing that they were like, well, you know, your head hurts, so, like, you should eat some ground-up skull or whatever. Yeah. So
I did not know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. Like, they say that we have less mummies than we should, Paige, because the fucking Victorians ate them.
Or, like, snorted them.
Snorted them?
Yes. Yeah.
It was, oh no,
like cocaine but dead people.
It's and there's horrifying. Like a color, there's like a color of paint called mummy brown, and like because it had actual mummies in it.
Yeah. It was called Mamiya, right? Is that how you say it?
I have no idea. Yeah. But like either way, like medicinal cannibalism was a thing for people. So I'm just saying, like, it's possible that, you know, some of the stuff was like other people's bodily fluids or materials.
Oh,
might have been a thing, but it was a thing for a lot of people.
Right, like putting blood on your lips ain't so bad when other people are grinding up mummies.
Yeah. Right.
Also, this is the rabbit hole I will be going down tonight.
Yeah. Well, and like, I don't know how accurate it is, but I think I saw it referenced in like an actual historical context. But there's an episode of Outlander where they're like using hangman's fat to like rub on people's
skin. It is true.
For some kind of ailment. And so it's like, yeah, they were taking like fat, like from that they got from bodies of executed people as like a medicinal thing.
I think I have heard that before.
So I'd actually covered that, and then that episode came out, and I think they're reading my mind. All right, so as was custom in that era, Elizabeth was betrothed when she was 10 years old to Ferrick Nadasi, who was 14. So that seems fun. It was a political alliance to maintain that noble lineage. Again, I think that if there was something wrong with her, that family would have been like, no, dog, we're going to go somewhere else.
Right.
So I think she was.
Unless they were really good at hiding it.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to be pretty darn good at hiding that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they would get married 5 years later in 1575, and they would move away to another castle called Kashtika. I think I'm saying that right. I even put in notations. I practiced off YouTube. I butcher
things. That's
fine.
I was going to say catch Tika, so. That's how much of a dumbass I am.
Words are hard. So, fun fact, she actually outranked him so much socially that she kept her surname and he adopted it. So
that is baller.
Excellent. Right? Here's the thing. Paige, have you officially changed your last name yet?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, well, then you need to tell Elliot, like, I outrank you socially, so you need to change your
name. You need to take mine.
Do it.
I'll see how that goes. I'll report back.
Yeah. Although, like, here I am judging for... I have a lot of thoughts. Sorry, we're interrupting a lot.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. So...
Here I am judging them for getting married like when she's 15 years old, but my husband and I started dating when I was 14 years old. So, like, how different is that really?
Yeah, my aunt and uncle got married at 15. It's not common, but yeah, they're still married. It's
wild.
There you go. When you know, you know.
It happens.
At least she wasn't like
10 when it happened. At least I gave them some time.
At least they weren't like, here's your husband when you're 10. Like, what was I doing at 10 years old? Lord. I don't know.
I was probably still digging in the dirt and thinking I was finding dinosaurs. I was a weird kid. But then I grew up to be a historian. It worked out.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay.
So it was rumored that before the wedding, she had a child out of wedlock. These accounts claim that it was fathered by either a worker or maybe a lower ranking nobleman. And that it was taken away from her and she was really bitter about it. But it seems that these rumors were unsubstantiated at best or a flat out lie at worst. And they were spread mostly by her biographers, which I find to be complete BS. But there's no actual evidence of that. Because, again, if it was known about it and written about, his family would have pulled out of that deal.
Yeah,
not going to happen. So.
Gotcha. So probably just like, more evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. In the context of the time we're speaking, they would have just yeeted out of there so fast. Be like, we're not touching this. No, not doing it.
Yeah.
So in 1578, Natisi became chief commander of the Hungarian army and embarked on a military campaign against the Ottoman Empire. He was reportedly pretty brutal, and they named him the Black Knight of Hungary. And that's where some of this stuff comes in. We're like, maybe she learned how to be so brutal because he'd come home and teach her how to kill people. But again, that's all speculation, and it's just this legend has blown up so much. But that's out there. People have actually written this and been like, this is her biography. This is true. And then people are like, oh, it's in a book. It has to be true. And it's fun. So while her husband was away, he actually put her in charge. So she maintained the family estates, which had 17 villages surrounding it. So in these kind of, what would you call it? Kingdoms, I guess. You know, the people in these villages would pay her taxes, even though she wasn't the king or queen or whatever.
Gotcha. Wasn't it like a fiefdom or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And she was apparently really good at it. She was really good at managing and the finances and protecting everything. And that's probably where it started, you know, perking some ears. People like, this is unnatural. She is a lady. How could she know what she's doing? And by all accounts, they were had a happy marriage. It seems that they had a good friendship. Like, he trusted her and he would write back and be like, how's things going? You're doing great. And she'd be like, good job killing all those people, honey. And it was just, it seemed to be a very supportive marriage. But they didn't have kids, which also started a lot of rumors because typically it was like the first year and a half people in the noble, you know, families would start having kids. And it took 10 years for them to have their first child. And a lot of people speculate wildly about that as well. But he was only home for Christmas and Easter. And it's really hard to procreate if you're only doing it twice a year. So that is why. Yeah, science again. Yay.
Yeah. Well, and again, like, I'm sure everybody blamed her for this, but it's like, that is not how making babies works. So.
Oh, yes. People say all kinds of stuff. So a lot of people are like, oh, she was infertile, but that's not likely because she did have five children eventually.
Oh, wow.
And then it wasn't likely that they didn't like each other because, again, that was their duty to have children and he had to have heirs. So that wouldn't have even mattered. Nobody back then liked their spouses. Most of the time. So that just had nothing to do with
it. I mean, also, I mean, I guess 10 years is a long time, but like, not every 15-year-old girl can have a child.
It's true. It's true. So it was just like really bad timing is what most historians were chalking up to. All right. So she eventually took over the affairs of the castle Sarvar, I'm guessing. And that was his family's estate as well. So now she's running two castles.
It had to have been like scary to be that powerful as a woman at this time.
I would imagine so. But I mean, it's hard to say because so much of her personality is so inflated. But I imagine she was very smart and she knew a lot and she probably knew she was smarter than everybody. So I feel like she was a little cocky too.
Yeah.
And then having a partner that actually supported that, I think she probably ran with it. And that's why a lot of people started to think she was a witch or murdery or evil. And then there's all these occult rumors starting to swirl because it was probably so wild to see a woman in control that people were just grasping at straws. And, you know, the witch thing comes up a lot in history, too. You're like, oh, my God, how dare you be good at something? Oh, witchcraft.
Right, must be a witch.
So then her husband dies on January 4th, 1604, at the age of 49. So pretty young. And there are some contradictory sources that say that it was when he was 51. And some people say he died in battle. And some said he had some unknown illness. But a lot of the times that's in these narratives that she murdered him because it was this mystery thing. But again, I don't think that's very true. Once he died, like, the rumors went crazy. Yeah. They escalated. Yeah. They became more dramatic. And now they include all these sadistic tendencies and torture and straight up murder. So the accusations, trigger warning, I suppose, because they're not great. Burning of genitals with candles, biting, deadly ice baths, like she would put a servant outside, throw water on them and watch them freeze to death. Being covered in honey and left outside for insects to eat.
Whipping. That one, like, really freaks me out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't,
Paige just put in the notes, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's not great. Whipping them with stinging nettles, just flat out beatings, boiling water, sticking pins in fingers, hot pokers. There were some said that she sewed lips shut.
Oh my God.
A lot of things very similar to, what is it, LaLaurie in New Orleans?
Oh,
she did
some messed up stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So kind of similar, really terrible, very, very awful. And there were some accusations of cannibalism. And if you listen to my podcast, all roads lead to cannibalism in history, apparently.
Who found that as well?
Yeah. And then there were, like, claims that she was having sex with the devil himself. So, yeah, you know. All these people are like, oh my God, I totally saw it. I'm like, I'm sure you did. All right. And of course, the most well-known accusation is that she bathed in the blood of virgins to maintain her youthful appearance, which, again, it's not very logical. It wouldn't have been very easy. And that's probably just another trope of she was beautiful and powerful. And how dare she? She had to have had to deal with the devil because nobody can have both. So, you know, it's great. And there were some other accusations, and these get just offensive, to, like, she was crazy, quote unquote, from having syphilis or menopause. Yeah. And I'm just, my blood pressure goes up sometimes researching
things. Yeah, I mean, some of it just seems, well, with, especially with, you know, the menopause thing or whatever, it's like some of it just seems, even today, their perspective on it, like, sort of sexist. Like, oh, her husband died and she just went crazy.
Absolutely.
Killing everybody.
And it happens in every culture, every time period, that women are, quote unquote, crazy because our hormones are all over the place, or menopause. And it's just, it's infuriating. But it was alleged that as many as 650 girls and young women were murdered over a 35-year period, and at least 37 and 51 in the last decade before her arrest in 1610 at the age of 50, when she started supposedly killing noble women. And that's where people are like, oh, that's where you got to stop. You can kill all the peasants, but if you if you kill a noble woman, that's when we gotta tell you to stop.
Yeah.
And that's the most believable part of this whole story.
I mean,
sad but true.
No one's going to bat an eye when kids are disappearing because, you know, it's, history sucks. But
Well, and I like hate to say it, but it's like, yeah, the same kind of shit goes on today. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And there are some sources that believe that she worked alongside servants like Anna Darvolia, who they called Darvulia. I don't know. It's Romanian.
Right.
And this is where people are like, she honed her skills of torture, and she had this woman now to just give her an endless supply of victims, which also just, it doesn't make sense. People would notice if all the young girls are disappearing.
So that's what I was going to ask, is, like, do all these people, these 650 girls, like, they actually went missing, or did we just make up this 650 number?
I will get into it in a little bit, but it's mostly made up. Yeah. So, and a lot of people were calling this girl a witch too, and it's very dramatized. And again, they're speculating very wildly. And then it's also the same idea with the Erzi Majerova. And she supposedly kind of took the role. But with any household, you're going to have somebody that's going to be in charge of all the servants. So I have no doubt that that's who they were, like the head of the household or whatnot. But whether or not they're both witches murdering people, I cannot say.
I'm going to say no. But
And as a wealthy noblewoman, Bathory evaded questioning for these allegations for a really long time. And plus, since she was the head of this whole area, if they were going to complain, they would have gone to her husband. And then when he died, they would have to go to her. So that wasn't going to happen. So some sources claim that there was this Lutheran minister named István Magyari, who was the first one to complain about her publicly because he noticed things were weird. And some sources say that he noticed people were disappearing and there were fresh graves, but those aren't backed up with any actual evidence. But there are letters where he's just like, I hear screaming and servants are injured. There's just something going on. So that seems believable because I have no doubts that she probably abused her staff. I believe that because there were written documentations of, you know, whippings and things getting out of hand. So I think that's what that was, but I think it's been taken and kind of twisted. And then I kept noticing people were talking about this Lutheran guy and nobody was citing it, which was really annoying to me. But then I finally found the only place that cited this was Wikipedia. And I normally shit on Wikipedia, but they came through this time. And the claim was made by this Michael Farron guy, and he wrote a book called Heroine of Horror. And it's only in German, so I couldn't read it. But I did find the excerpts that were kind of translated loosely by Google. And that's where it came in. That he wrote a testimony that she was very harsh towards the lower classes and exhibited cruelty. And people took that as she's slaughtering everybody.
Harsh is very different from murdering 650 people.
And it could be a translation thing too. You know, there's a lot of things. But again, I think everything's just been exaggerated because it's such a legendary story at this point. So eventually she is investigated, but it gets so sus. And this is why. She's a woman. She's running this estate. She's doing a really good job. And she's in control of the local populace, and she does not have a man at all by her side. So she's also rich. She's probably like Scrooge McDucking it with like swimming in money. So people are like, what is going on over there? And the king has to just be stewing because she has all the money he wants. She has all the strategic land he wants. And he owes her money.
Of course.
So he had a very sizable debt to her husband, which went to her. So he had to pay her back. He didn't want to do it. So the first theory is that scholars on one side think that maybe this fueled him to incriminate her because if she was executed, all the land and money would go to him and then all his debts would be canceled. It's very suspicious.
I could buy that. But like, what an asshole.
Yes.
And also, like, if that is the case, things like really spin out of control. It gets pretty crazy.
Yeah. Although, like, if she, okay, here's my like one what if question to this. So, okay, if scholars feel that, like he might have moved to incriminate her and he owed her all this money or owed her family all this money, like, why wouldn't she have been like, hey, make this go away and like, I'll forgive your debt or whatever. And then just, you know.
I think probably at this point, her family was so powerful because her uncle is the king of Poland and her family owns most of Romania. So if he just quietly had her executed and he could take everything before they could fight back, then he doesn't have to worry about it.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, and remember this because it's going to be important in a little bit. If she was not executed by chance, all the money is going to go to her surviving family and the debt would have to be paid to them So keep that in mind. All right. No spoilers. All right. So whether you believe King Matthias II thought she was a murderer and needed investigating, or he just saw this as a really good excuse to get rid of this powerful nuisance and mm-hmm. get some money. Either way, he sent in his highest ranking representative, Georgi Thurzo, to investigate the complaints against her. So Thurzo was a Palatine of Hungary, which means he was allowed to have judicial powers without the king around and stuff. And ironically, he was actually charged by her husband to take care of him or take care of her after he died. So he really sucked at that job.
Good work.
Yeah.
Great job,
Thurzo. You had one job. One job. And between March and July of 1610, he interviewed 52 witnesses, 34 were servants of the countess's neighbors. And so these witnesses told these wild tales about bruised and beaten young women being stripped and left outside to die of exposure. And a lot of them, it was like a game of telephone. They're all telling the same story, but each one's getting more exaggerated. So somebody probably said it and then spread it around town and it just grew.
Yeah.
And there was one clerk that did see one girl that was burnt very badly on the hands. But the story, when it went to the person that told the story, was like, yeah, she got burnt. It wasn't her. It was just, you know, something that happened, you know, between her and some of the other servant people. So things were a little better amongst the servants at this new castle. And many did recall cries of pain and sounds of a whip, but that was just something that was common, unfortunately, in this century, and people didn't really bat an eye because it was frowned upon to beat your servants or, you know, accidentally kill them, but it wasn't illegal and it wasn't something that people did anything about. So again, just history's a son of a bitch. You got to just think of context. So there was a doctor called to the castle to tend to some sick girls, and they also testified at that point that they didn't see anything sadistic. So when the doctor got to the castle, they're like, no, nothing that crazy's happened. But I mean, it's not great. We'd be happy to leave. And again, at this point, this kind of abuse wouldn't have raised a single eyebrow.
Yeah, that's what I had read was like, sure, she was likely cruel to her servants. And that's terrible. But it's not like it was unusual.
Yeah, it was sadly very common.
Common. And like, I sort of have a feeling that if you killed one of your servants because they did something that you didn't like, nobody would care. So, I don't know. I mean, no, that doesn't make it okay. I'm just saying.
So, despite all this evidence not really coming to fruition of any actual crimes, he did arrest her at the castle on December 30th, 1610. He claimed to have caught her in the act. Again, there's no actual evidence to substantiate any of this. And what he did discover is they did find the body of one dead girl and another that was severely injured, but alive. And the injured girl was named Anna, and she stated at the scene that she was beat, and the countess herself did hit her, but it was the washerwoman that worked there that actually ripped her flesh and really hurt her. So it was another servant. And then after they left, she changed her account and claimed that it was the countess herself who had destroyed her right hand and arm. And then afterwards, she was awarded 50 guilders, 15 pounds of wheat, and a small farm as a free property to live out her life. All courtesy of this Thurzo dude. So, again, it's very suspicious.
And
so while the countess was locked in her castle dungeons, the notaries began to collect 300 witness testimonies against her. And they were from both of the castles that she was managing. And this is where the things start getting super wild and all those accounts of the really horrific things start getting written down. And the figure was 650 deaths. And a lot of that comes from a servant girl named Susanna, who says that there was this ledger that was kept by one of the official Jacob, Silvasi, that he kept this ledger for her. But Susanna would not have been literate. So even if she had seen this ledger, she couldn't have read all the things she was saying. So again, that doesn't make sense. And this ledger was never discovered and nobody else witnessed seeing it. And he testified that he had never seen a ledger in his life, and he's yeah, so he was like, no, she's not a serial killer. I mean, she's not great, but none of this stuff is real.
Uh-huh. So that's where that number comes from.
Yes, this ledger that supposedly exists. But
because, and like, also, like, do you know how much time it would take to count? Like, for, well, A, she's illiterate. So it's like, you're telling me that she saw this ledger and she also was able to count to 650?
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that, like, how many people were they looking for at this point? Like, how many people have actually disappeared that they think it's even possible that she killed 650 people?
Yeah. You know? I mean, there was, 17 villages, but that's still a lot of people. And at that point, you would think people would start uprising if you're killing all their children. Like, it just makes sense.
Yeah, like, at some point, wouldn't people be like, no, we're not sending any more people to work at your castle?
Right. Like, they maybe, keep disappearing. Maybe the first 50 to 100. But, like, once you start hitting those numbers, like, people start asking questions.
As a 16th century villager, what's the number at which you get suspicious of your...
I don't think the number is 650. Yeah. I really don't.
Oh, me either. So things start to get a little more wonky here. So Thurzo is sent by the king to convict her so he can get all the debts canceled and take all her shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think that's what would happen, but it is not. Thurzo tried her in a secret trial. She was not convicted and sentenced to death like the king wanted. Instead, her servants were convicted of witchcraft and burned at the stake, but she was charged with the death of 80 girls and was sentenced to a life imprisonment in her castle. They, like, bricked her in her room.
Uh-huh.
And she remained under house arrest for 4 years until she died in 1614. And she was initially buried in a crypt on the estate, but her body was likely moved afterwards, and it's really fuzzy where she went after that. But
yeah, I also read that with respect to her servants who got charged, that there were two or three women and one man. The man got beheaded, but in terms of the women before they got burned alive, they pulled their fingers off with hot pincers.
Oh, God.
Like, what the fuck?
That's
like, you were all doing fucked up shit to people.
Right,
so.
Yeah. And here you are attacking our girl Liz for...
Yes! That is just disrespectful.
Right.
Why? So because she was in prison, that meant her fortune and lands went to her family, and now the king owed the debt to them. And guess who is part of her family? Thurzo, by marriage. It's like the ultimate plot twist.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming, because I've listened to podcasts, I have researched this before, and I didn't catch that the first time.
Yeah, there's fucking Thurzo.
Yes, I think it was him all along.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be taking care of her. That monster.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, reading through stuff about her and listening to you talk about this, it's like, I'm 100% on the side of, like, they saw her as a risk. They wanted to get rid of her. You know, maybe her family had some problem or plot against her.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also read that in terms of the king, that by remarrying, like, she had so much power from her family that she could have upset the balance of power.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to him in the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, like, people described her as, like, being, like, sarcastic and intelligent and witty and self-assured. And so it's, like, definitely they saw her as a problem because she was a woman. Oh,
absolutely. And Thurzo had big political ambitions. And Mathurin was pretty close to her nephew, too, who was kind of ruling over Transylvania. So getting her out of the way really kind of opens up a lot for him, too.
Yeah. Here's what I decided, and that I wrote down in the notes earlier, was that I am officially declaring my hot take. I'm officially declaring Elizabeth Bathory as the Regina George of late 16th century Hungary. She was beautiful and mean and powerful and clever and ultimately brought down by her enemies, who were just as mean as she was.
Absolutely. That is an incredible take.
So that's my official take-home message here.
Yes, and it makes so much sense. And plus, Thurso, all the court officials, all the jury members, everybody mm-hmm. owed their allegiance to him. So there yeah. was no way she was escaping that. Either way it went, yeah. if he was doing it for the king or himself, she was not.
Yeah,
not gonna. And she even petitioned to have her family defend her, but.
Yeah.
They blocked all the attempts. So they Jeez. Did this so fast that none of them could get there to help her.
Yeah. Oh, one question that I thought of was, do you know what happened to her kids?
They seem to be, they're not huge figures. The thing with okay. her is after she dies, her name is essentially erased from history until yeah. about 1720. And so her kids, a few of them made it to adulthood, and they were married uh-huh. off, and they were still rich and powerful, but nobody was ever, like, rose to power like she was.
Okay.
They probably wouldn't allow that, but...
Yeah. I mean, mostly I was just worried that they, you know, something bad happened to them since they went after their mom, but...
I mean, her children are always kind of a footnote, so I don't mm-hmm. think she was mother of the year by any means. Yeah. It's probably a lot of times when... things like this happen, they kind of scurry the kids off and
yeah.
they kind of fade away from history. But it wasn't until, you know, 1700s where there was a Jesuit and he dug up her account. And that's when people are like, oh, hey, this person existed, and start writing on her. And that's when the legends of like all, because when they were trying those servants and stuff, after so much torture, they convinced all of them to say that she did all these things. So that was in the court records that she, yeah. you know, was brutally torturing everybody. So people are pulling these accounts, and that's where the rumors that she inspired Dracula, because she was supposedly a vampire. And oh, I think one villager was like, yeah, you know, my great great or whatever said she bathed in blood. And that's where that came from. That came from the 1700s, not her lifetime. And it just blew up. And she yeah. just had this, like, reputation from that day on as this bloodthirsty vampire lady. And some people do say that Bram Stoker was inspired by her as well as Vlad the Impaler. Mm-hmm. But I've done some research that says that he was actually more so inspired by a Celtic creature called a Aubertach. I think I'm saying that right.
Oh.
Celtic okay. words are really hard. And that he liked... Vlad the Impaler's castle. Like, he only saw a picture of that castle and was like, that one. That's where yeah. I'm envisioning this story happening.
Yeah.
So he might have heard of Elizabeth, and it might have played a little bit into, like, the blood part, but it's mm-hmm. a little fuzzy.
Gotcha.
And, of course, later more testimonies came out, and that's when people are still actively trying to dig up more on her, because everything has been clouded by so much legend and folklore. Uh-huh. And she's also a huge prominent fixture in literature, music. She's almost always compared to Vlad the Impaler, a.k.a. Yeah. Prince of Wallachia, which is the name of my cat, Prince of Wallachia. I find it so incredibly witty, but nobody gets it, so I have to say Prince of Wallachia, a.k.a. Kitty Vlad the Impaler, and then they're like, oh, okay, that's really long.
That's adorable.
He's very murdery, too. But and then my last little nugget is that she is in the Guinness World Records book as the most prolific female murderer of all time in the Western world. But yeah. it's...
I mean, here's the thing about that. is I read that despite, you know, these claims that she killed 650 people, archaeologists have found no evidence of mass burials on exactly. any of the properties that she owned that, like, should be there mm-hmm. if this had happened.
the whole 650 number is just, like, absurd. Basically, yeah. they found, like, one... I mean, they know that she was probably abusing the people.
Yeah.
There. She was likely abusing her servants.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's say she's particularly cruel to her servants. And so, you know, they're maybe not thrilled to be working for her. And then friggin' Thurso comes in here and, you know, starts stirring shit up.
Like, yeah.
About her being a murderer, or like the king is motivated to take her property or to have her convicted. And of course, like if you're going to either like put them under duress or offer them some sort of benefit from, you know, telling this story that she was killing people, then they're going to take it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm like very much, I don't think she did it. I think she was a powerful, smart woman. And they were like, no.
Yeah, I agree. And it's crazy because I mean, I knew like the stories, but I didn't know this side of it like at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd only ever heard the, you know, she killed all her servants in terrible ways and tortured them. Like until you mentioned it, Paige will be thrilled. I think in a TikTok. It was a TikTok about your, you know, hot take that she wasn't guilty of all these crimes. And I was like, amazing. We have to talk about this.
So. Yeah. And it's wild because you have to get to like the 8th page of Google to finally get to the real stuff, which normally you don't have to really dig as far. And it's, but it's just such a fun story. I hate to say fun with a serial killer, but people are so obsessed with this idea of this beautiful woman bathing in blood, you know, inspiring Dracula, that I don't think people have really tried to dig much further than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually saw a little, factoid that the bathing in blood thing didn't even become a thing until like 100 years after she died.
Yeah,
like some French writer made it up. So,
yeah, and her biographers did her dirty. She definitely got a bad edit because almost all the shitty things was written way after people calling themselves her biographer. So, it's really hard to weed through. But there are a lot of Hungarian scholars that are working really hard to kind of go through a lot of these testimonies that are being made public and translating them and really trying to get to a more accurate portrayal, because she, regardless, she was a very interesting person. And for a woman to have that much power in that century is just incredible. And it's not unbelievable, because if you look throughout history, a lot of times this happened. Women were, you know, accused of something, executed, like Anne Boleyn, you know, she, now that history is looking at her in a different perspective, she was incredibly influential in the Protestant Reformation, and was one of the mother of it, if you look at it in some perspective. But then people are like, she's a witch, and she had moles everywhere and 6 fingers on one hand, and had an incestual relationship with her brother. And it's like, people are so threatened by women in history that they'll do everything they can to just completely smear their reputation and then try to erase them. And that's what I think happened with her.
Honestly, I think the biggest, I mean, it's like very sad if she was innocent and you know, was accused of all these things and was imprisoned. And that's sad for her. But I think like the people that got the real shit end of the stick were her servants that they executed for because of this. Because it's like, are you serious? Like, they probably did nothing. And like, if she was killing people,
they probably weren't even involved.
Even if they were involved, she's like this very powerful person who's their boss. Like, we all know that like they were probably afraid of her if that was the case. So
right, because like, she's killing people.
Right. Yeah, if I found out that my boss was just like murdering people on the regs and was like, you're going to help me or else I'm going to kill you too. I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Hostile work environment.
Good to know, Megan.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't really do that. Shut up.
I'm Eliza. And I need you to listen to me. Have you ever felt so much that you don't know where to put it all? And you wonder if anyone would notice if you screamed? Because you want to. Scream for the ones they've hurt, the ones they've taken. Scream for yourself. These are my words, my story from my perspective. Because I know you'll hear other versions. Because I want you to have a chance to believe mine. Or at least hear it. If you're getting this, it's already over. But if one of you listens, really listens, it won't be for nothing.
Okay, well, that is Kina's case for Elizabeth Bathory being innocent of all the terrible things, or at least, like, mostly innocent of the terrible things that she did. Was she probably mean?
Oh, yes. Probably. Yeah, like 100%. She probably was not a joy to be around.
But, like, also, was everyone of that time mostly shitbags to their servants?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Positive.
So I doubt that she was that much worse, but who knows? Maybe she had a reputation. But do I think that she killed 650 people? No.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Okay. And so since this is spooky true crime, obviously her general story is just, like, spooky, and it's fun to think that, like, there might be another side to it. But we also have to talk about the stories that have happened after she died and long after, because lots of people say that Kashtika? That's a fun word.
Yeah. Okay.
I seriously would have said Kachtika.
That's exactly how I wrote it, too.
It's definitely Kashtika. Okay. Anyway. But the Kashtika Castle is haunted now. So, of course, Ghost Hunters International went there for their first season.
Of course, naturally.
Yeah. And Paige already knows that I have a lot of feelings about that, because mainly it's like, I'm pretty sure talking to ghosts in English in a foreign country makes zero sense.
So stupid.
It's like, let's just yell at them in English. Like, this is definitely going to get a response.
Ghosts go through English 101 when
they die. They all get an ESL when they pass to the the underworld or whatever, to the other side. So that's insane. And, like, they'll get responses that are in English, and it's like, oh, that makes no sense. So I also did watch a little bit of a paranormal investigation YouTube video from Amy's Crypt. Ooh. And while I 0% believe that she caught any real evidence of ghosts, it was still entertaining, and she at least did a little bit of a better job of acknowledging the cultural aspects of that. Like, she actually said, here are the languages that she spoke, and she makes the effort to speak to the ghosts in Hungarian, or, like, at least attempts to. And, I mean, I have no idea. I can't speak Hungarian, so I don't know how she did, but it sounded pretty good. But she does use a spirit box, and she used an app to monitor EMF, so I was like, probably not.
She uses an app on her phone.
Yes.
To monitor.
And she was like, this
EMF
monitors EMF. And I was like, I was trying to watch, and I was like, I don't think you have any sort of attachment on there. So I'm sorry, Amy's Crypt, but you have it up here. Even, here's what I learned when I tuned into Kenny Biddle's live stream with Jason Hawes, which was super fun. And I was, like, geeking out the whole time. But I asked a question in it. And I asked, what is, like, ghost hunting equipment that people shouldn't use anymore? And he said the spirit box. Like, so. So get rid of it. It's garbage. Anyway, so she did a good job. However, one of the responses that I wanted to point out that she got was the spirit box sounded like it was saying Elizabeth, and that, like, wasn't her name in her native language.
Yeah.
Like, Elizabeth Bathory is the anglicized, which I was trying to remember that name or that word, like, several weeks ago and could not for the life of me. So I'm very annoyed that I'm only remembering it now.
So basically, even though she asked the questions in Hungarian, she was still getting
responses, like, they
in
interpreted
English.
The response as Elizabeth. And it's like, well, her actual name was Elizabeth Bathory. So. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense either. But anyway, don't want to pick on Amy's Crypt too much, because I did feel like she made a much more solid effort than, like, a lot of other ghost hunters that I've seen. And I did think that, you know, she it was at least entertaining. So there's that. Okay. So the things that people see at Kashtike Castle, I really like saying that, is they see shadow figures, and some people claim that they've seen apparitions of Elizabeth herself. Here's the thing about Elizabeth being there. Like, let's say there are actually ghosts there. Like, fucking right I'd come back as a ghost if, like, my own family or the king or whoever framed me for some gruesome... Like, here's a case where it's like, yes, this person should come back as a ghost and fuck with people still there.
Yes. They deserve it.
So, I mean... Great. That's great justification. That makes sense to me. But in terms of seeing apparitions, I sort of just write that off as people's eyes, the huge people's eyes playing tricks on them, mm-hmm. especially in the dark, or just like seeing other tourists and freaking themselves right. out.
They're excited.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're going,
crazy things have happened there.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going because the people in the city nearby and like the people who run, you know, at the access to the castle very much play into this whole thing. And right. so it's like, yeah, you're going mm-hmm. in there with this preconceived notion. And like, even in that YouTube video that I watched, at one point, you know, they're in there at night in the dark and like somebody's poking around outside. They hear somebody poking around outside, like with a big flashlight. So it's like, well, people are probably just seeing other people. It doesn't right. seem like it's super isolated.
Yeah. Well, of course, if you think that this vampire lady is in there, you're going to sneak in there at night.
Yeah. Yeah, I assume she had, like, permission, but what do I know?
we're, like, people outside, you know. I'm sure people are sneaking yeah, in.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Like you do.
In the bushes.
Okay. The other things that people claim is that they hear young girls crying and that they hear disembodied voices. And to this I say, if you look at pictures of the castle, most of it is in ruins, like parts of it are collapsed and right. yeah. So mm-hmm. you'd have such a tough time avoiding sounds bleeding in from the ambient environment nearby.
Well, yeah, and like to your point just a second ago, like if people are
yeah, if there's other people around
and you don't realize it, like,
yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, there's you just have sentence. Such a hard time controlling the environment yeah. enough to say, like, this is a mm-hmm. ghost, but it's like, no, it's just like an owl or something. Okay, and then the other thing that people report is a sense of dread and evil, and like, that's the easiest one to debunk because you just think, well. We're going in there with prior knowledge of the supposed terrible things that happened on the property. And, like, it's also just inherently creepy because mm-hmm. it's an old castle, partially right.
all
in ruins.
All castles would feel kind of spooky.
Yeah, yeah. They're all going to feel sort of creepy and weird. So that's just, like, normal old castle shit. And like I said, they play it up. So you can find pictures right. online of the torture room that they've set up at the castle for tourists.
Oh, dear.
Like, in one of...
I just got
yeah.
there.
Yeah. In one of the tunnels beneath it. So it's, like, they're very much, like, playing into this whole idea and like what happened there and having fun with it. And there's like a statue of her in like the city nearby, like with one of her victims and stuff. So it's a whole mm-hmm. thing. People are going in there like very much primed.
Right.
Oh yeah. And that's the same thing with Vlad's castle, the one that they consider his castle. He didn't even really live there, but they have a torture room and all the spikes
that's
and stuff.
Silly.
And, like... But I mean, I guess in their defense, it's a tourist trap, so they're basically funding that whole city just because yeah. they're kind of going with the Dracula thing. So I get that from a
yeah.
It's I guess I just promotion feel like standpoint. These places are like kind of spooky enough on their own, and because there's like some history, some spooky history like tied to them, like you don't need to do all of this. Like no, the theatrics mm-hmm. aren't. They're not required. Just like leave it spooky. Let me come in and enjoy what it is. Don't give yeah. me this torture room.
Okay. Kina, before we wrap this up, is there anything else you would like to tell our listeners or anything else you'd like to plug or just remind them where they can find you?
Awesome. I love to shameless plug. Right. It's what I do best. So you can find Historical AF everywhere that you find podcasts. And you can follow me on social media. That's Historical AF Pod at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I do have a TikTok and I do history things. And it's a lot of history and dogs and just weird shit. And that's at Kina Leanne. And that's K-Y-N-A Leanne. And yeah, I put out episodes every week. And then have extra episodes. And yeah, I think that's, if you like history, you'll like it. And it's not boring history, I promise. The whole podcast was inspired by a dick joke about Rasputin. So that should give you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I've been on the show twice now. And Paige mm-hmm. and I will be on in a few weeks. And which that mm-hmm. will have long aired before this is out. Yeah. But me being on the show, I was so nervous to do it, by the way, but then it was like it just felt perfectly at home. So if you like our podcast and you're interested in history stuff, you will absolutely like Historical AF because it's super fun, and I'm so glad that we got you on here.
I'm so glad I found you guys. I actually found you guys when you were on Insanely Haunted.
Yeah. I miss Insanely Haunted. Yeah.
Oh, I know. They are delightful humans.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Kina. First of all, it was nice to finally meet you.
It was so great.
But also, thank you for coming with like so much information.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, this was really great.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Well, I'm sure we will love to have you back someday. So, so you'll be hearing from us.
Yeah. It probably won't be until next year, but don't take that personally. It's just that we won't be recording again until.
Yeah, my people will get in touch with your people, and by our people, just each other.
All right, spooky people.
Indie podcast life.
Yes. Well, that wraps up our second spooky true crime episode. Tune in to episode 34 when we chat about spooky oceans. If you like this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Spooky SciPod, Facebook at Spooky Science Sisters, and at our website, SpookyScienceSisters.com. If you have any questions about previous topics, ideas for future episodes, or if you have any Halloween listener stories, email us at SpookyScienceSisters@gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening and stay spooky.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at StraightUpStrange.com.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.